The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Seven o'clock on a Tuesday morning, but let's kick off the start of the week. John Granato out today, but he'll be back tomorrow and Wednesday and Thursday. Tomorrow's Wednesday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. This is the only day he's off. He understands the vacation process. You back end it next to July 5th, which was also a day off from work. So well done, John. Well done. Well done like the Astros this weekend. And sitting next to me is Del Olale. Del's going to do the show today. We got our man Cam is running the board right now. Rookie, his first. So this is Cam's first shot at the running the board. An intern, right?
He did this. He did some stuff last week. Now, okay. I was in there with him. This is a little different. Well, I'll be his.
We're not 100% sure we even have a producer today.
Well, pretty sure we don't, considering the show has started. Yeah. Cam's in there.
Yeah, it appears as though.
The thought was it'd be Trey, and I looked at the schedule and said, wait a minute, Trey's doing the blitz today, and Soccer Matters. I don't think they're giving him a double.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that played out. Normally there isn't a body in there, and now Cam's that body.
Yep. Well, that's good. That's good. That's what interning is. Throw him right into the fire. So good. Glad we have Cam with us today. So over the weekend, we have a lot to get to, a lot to cover, a lot of things starting today. Obviously, the NBA playoffs, the NBA finals start today. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But the Astros, after losing 5 of 6, including being swept by the Orioles at home, go back out on the road away from wives, away from girlfriends, away from kids, and have success. And I know John likes to act like that's not a thing, but it appears to be a thing where the Astros are pretty good on the road when they need to be. They certainly do rise to the level of competition. We've talked about that before. They end up sweeping a 4-game set in Cleveland. And what was impressive was, yeah, the bats came back some, but the starting pitching was on point once again. And a bullpen did a pretty good job of holding up 7-2, 6-3, 3-2, 4-3. Those were your four scores over the weekend as Fromber, McCullers, Odorizzi, and you ended up going to extra innings, and Blake Taylor ended up getting a win. But it was Zach Greinke who had a very, very fine game against Cleveland on Sunday. Now, the Astros were off on Monday. They're back at it today. They're back at home. You got Oakland three times and then New York three times, and then you are into the All-Star break. But not only did you get a sweep on the road, Del, the All-Star appearances were announced. The All-Star team was announced. And the Astros have four players. Now, we talked about as many as six. On the low end, we expected four, as many as six. The ones expected were Carlos Correa, 298 average. He has right now, he's hitting over 900. He's at 927. From an OPS standpoint, 16 home runs, 52 RBIs. He is having a team MVP season right now. Jose Altuve, also an all-star this year, hitting 284, 871 OPS. He leads the team in home runs with 18, has 47 RBIs, and is just having another strong Jose Altuve campaign. Michael Brantley, despite missing time, is an all-star. He's hitting 340 with an 885 OPS. Power numbers aren't there, but Uncle Mike's just got so much respect around the league, and he's just such a great hitter. I mean, his hit total's at 88. Like, he's, even with the time he's missed, he's up near the top of the team. He's tied for second, I believe, with most hits for the team. He is an all-star. And then it goes to the pitching staff, and that would be Ryan Pressly. Ryan Pressly with a 1.54 ERA, a 0.83 WHIP, which is walks and hits per nine innings pitched, and 14 saves. Ryan Pressly, despite a couple of, obviously, the gigantic blast off of that Fernando Tatis had to tie the game up against Padres, you take that out of the mix, and we're talking about a guy who's had just an absolutely stellar season. He's had a stellar season, even if you include that home run. So those are your four All-Stars, and we expected that those four guys would have a good chance of making the All-Star team. The guy that got snubbed, you could say Zach Greinke, but not really. I mean, there's a lot of pitchers. Greinke's had a nice season. But really, Yuli Gurriel, hitting .322 with .884 OPS. He's got 10 home runs. He leads the team in hits and RBIs, 91 hits, 53 RBIs. He leads the team in that category. I think there is a I think you can make the case that Yuli was snubbed, even though he's a little tougher position. So for the Astros, very good after last year's shaky season that was followed up with a good postseason. You know, everyone's clicking. Everything's clicking for the Astros right now. They're 52-33. They got 6 games to go until they hit the All-Star break. They got 4 All-Stars. Things look good for them right now.
As far as Yuli's concerned, as you mentioned, it's a tough position. You have Matt Olson and Jared Walsh making obviously the starters, Vlad Guerrero Jr. Can we show some deference to the guy who's leading the division? The other two reserves are both AL West first basemen.
Yeah.
And one of the guys is on a team who is .500. Can I get Yuli on there, particularly because his team is one of the best in baseball and he's a big part of it?
You would think that, I don't think anyone's going to do the Astros any favors necessarily. Nah. And I don't know how beloved Yuli is around baseball.
Well, he does have that whole Chinito thing.
He has the Chinito thing, which I don't know if anyone's still holding that against him. That was in 2017, but maybe so. I don't think people are going to look to get an extra Astro on an All-Star team, regardless of how much they deserve it. But it is worth noting that you had 4 make it and probably should have been 5. You know what's really amazing? When you look at the numbers of the Astros, and we didn't really talk about him at all because he's missed so much time, but Yordan Alvarez, I mean, it's pretty scary what Yordan's putting together right now. He's hitting .300 with an OPS of .900. He's got 14 home runs. Like the leader is Jose Altuve with 82. Yordan's got, I thought it would be less than 32. He's only got 32 at-bats or plate appearances. No, well, at-bats less than Jose Altuve. I thought that number would be a little higher, to be honest with you, and only 35 less than Carlos Correa. But Yordan's got 14 bombs and 51 RBIs in his 69 games played. So Altuve, yeah, I guess it's true. Altuve has had time off as well with 72 games played, so that's one thing to take a look at. But, you know, it's amazing that Yordan – if you really look at just numbers, if you're just grinding on numbers, I'm not saying Yordan's an all-star, but I'm not saying he's far off. I mean, these numbers are as good as a lot you're going to find with the all-star. So that's how close the team is to having 6 all-stars. No starting pitchers made the all-star team, and yet they have one of the deepest, strongest starting rotations that you're going to find. So Astros in excellent shape. Heading into the All-Star break. They're not there yet. Like I said, if you guys want a chance to go out and see the Astros before they hit the All-Star break, you got 3 coming up starting tonight against the A's, and then you got the Yankees in town. And we'll see if we see Gerrit Cole. Speaking of Gerrit Cole, Dale, you know how I felt. When Gerrit Cole left, I don't have any love for certain guys I have love for, like Chris Paul, and Chris Paul wasn't here any longer than Gerrit Cole.
Both 2 years, right?
I mean, they're both 2 years. But Chris Paul, of course, George Springer. I wish nothing but the best for George Springer. But in general, if I don't have a deep connection to you, I loved what Gerrit Cole did, but he didn't come up as the young pup in club Astros. He didn't come up from the minor league system. He was a gun for hire. That's fine. He was here 2 years. He couldn't wait to get out. Okay, that's cool. But I don't have love for you if you go to the Yankees. At all. That's not my business. And I was rooting for him not to have success. And I'm happy to say that he was booed as he left the mound from New York fans. As New York fans are finally starting to get a little bit irritated. Gerrit Cole, since the spider tech thing, I've got his numbers. Have you seen the numbers? I'm sure you have.
Yes.
It doesn't take long to get into them. Gerrit Cole, since the spider tech, the great spider tech incident of 2021 has been absolutely terrible. Let's see. Well, let me pull it. I'll pull it up for you in a second.
When would you say the line of delineation is as far as spider tech, the before and after? Were we talking between May 28th and June 3rd?
To me, what's being used is when the first minor leaguers were suspended. That's what's being used because, if at least in the numbers I have here, his ERA, it says before is a 2.31 ERA. After was a 6.46. Batting average before, 198. After, 274. Slugging before, 325, super low. After, 532. OPS before, 0.554. OPS after, 0.884. Like, his numbers against could get you into All-Stars. And I don't know where you want to start it because you've got, obviously, a game log in front of you. But Gerrit Cole, since they are now checking and he could face suspension and he's definitely not using Spider-Tech, which is a grip substance that helps him spin the ball more with sharper breaking pitches, he's not the same guy. And they are on the hook for over $300 million with him.
And you add him plus Aroldis Chapman blowing that game yesterday. And it was a pretty good day if you are a hater of the Yankees or just simply a vindictive person who loves when other people fail, like yourself.
Yeah. So, like yourself.
Sure. But
your middle name is Schadenfreude. Del Schadenfreude.
But mine is directed at people or teams that have directly affected me. The Yankees are the Astros' bitch, and you still want it. You want them. They are.
But their fans sitting in the media, and really, you know what? More than the fans, it's actually the media, like guys like Andy Martino, who excuse any type of cheating the Yankees have done and find any excuses they can and write books against the Astros. So I got personal beef with people like Andy Martino and some of the people of his ilk who turn a blind eye. I'm sitting there telling you the Astros cheated. I know it. And if you're going to do away with cheating, which I'm in favor of, do away with all cheating. Now that they have, call your team out. Call your guys out. Are you calling out Gerrit Cole? I mean, so yes, while they are our bitches collectively as a city and a team, I also think that we do have a little bit of personal beef with the fan base, but more importantly for me, with some of the media members who are disingenuous and who sit there sanctimoniously on their soapbox lecturing the Astros when the whole video replay thing came over from New York with Carlos Beltran. It did. And no one wants to acknowledge that. We can't get the letter unsealed so that the Yankees find out that they were involved in that stuff. And even if you do, it doesn't matter. They're going to make, they're like an abusive fan base. Well, I didn't mean to do it. It's like an episode of Cops where somebody outside of a trailer park run-in.
Someone is the wife or the girlfriend who...
Please don't take him! He didn't mean to cheat with Spider Tech! He didn't do it! No. Just lock his ass up. Lock Gerrit Cole up.
Okay.
Yeah. Lock up Gerrit Cole.
You want him to go to jail for Spider Tech?
Well, I mean, you know...
Baseball jail?
Yeah, like... Why can't Twitter jail get after him? Put him in Twitter jail. Come on, cancer culture. Do your thing. Get after Gerrit Cole. I didn't feel like he's the typical guy that you would.
Yeah, I don't feel
especially
like.
Especially when Rachel Nichols is in the crosshairs now. We'll do that later.
And Jalen Rose's daughter got after her, too. So that's.
Yeah. Oh, no. Jalen had her back.
Well, not his daughter.
Apparently not.
No.
We'll get to that.
There's a video of that we can play.
So we got I got Del right next to me. We got Cam inside the glass doing his work. Now we're going to find out how this transition into commercials go. We'll find out if Cam is really ready for this.
I don't like to pretend like my job isn't that difficult, but as far as getting into commercials,
it's not that hard.
It's not that hard.
All right.
As long as you have everything set up beforehand, it's not
that
hard.
All right. When we come back, we got to look at we'll tell you about what happened with Rachel Nichols as she's got some problems, especially with Twitter and, more importantly, some people in her own building. We'll find out how that's going to go. Although some people like Steven Jackson have her back. We'll try to play the audio for you. And we'll get into Phoenix versus Milwaukee because the NBA Finals starts today, but we're still not sure what's going on with Giannis. But we will take a look at that matchup. So you guys stick with us, 713-780-3776. You're always welcome to come in. Some NIL news as well and a lot to get to right here on the bench.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
7:19 here on The Bench. Lance and Dell with you right here on ESPN 97.5 and also 92.5. As I mentioned earlier, the Houston Astros get the sweep over the weekend. 52-33 right now for the good guys. And, man, are they playing some streaky baseball? They have, and throughout the year, really, it's been it's not that they haven't been a good team. They've obviously been a very, very good team. But you do see that the Astros, from the beginning, a four-game win streak, a six-game losing streak, three-game losing streak, three-game win streak, three-game win streak, three-game losing streak. This is where you had the 2-4-6-game win streak, and really it was 8 of 9. Then you lose four straight. Then you win four straight. Then you win three straight. I'm obviously jumping over occasional win-loss. Then you've got when you had 11 straight wins. Then you had the four losses in a row. Then you have the four wins in a row. Like, these are, I read you every single run that was three or more, and that's a lot. There's a lot of streaks in there. You got a lot of, unfortunately, you've been swept by some bad teams this year, but you've swept a lot of teams as well. Obviously, during the hot streak, you swept three in a row. You had Baltimore, Chicago, you had Texas. Then you get swept by Baltimore. Then you swept Cleveland. You've literally, over the last, if you count the Rangers, which is a two-game series, but let's just count the Rangers here. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 straight series where there has, because Detroit is not. Detroit was not a sweep. So you've got 5 of 6 series have been sweeps. But most of them were wins. So that's mostly the good kind of streak.
Would you trade the four sweeps? Was it 4 or 5?
Well, four in your favor.
Okay, would you trade?
One was an anti-sweep.
It's still a sweep if it just goes the other way. If, let's say, I trade you a Cleveland sweep for, let's say you win two out of, you split the series with Cleveland, but you don't have the bad feeling of getting swept by Baltimore.
No, I'll take this.
You'll still
it's
take
who
the
they
sweep.
Are. Yeah. Okay.
Because the Baltimore sweep felt like it crushed people's souls.
What
and
it kind of erased
their,
a little,
their view of what the Astros were.
Yeah, it felt like it just kind of really dampened the win streak that you had. I mean, Detroit did too. You split 2-2 at Detroit, but then losing, getting swept at home for a team that you were putting 13-10 on previously, that just felt weird. That didn't seem to make a lot of, you, against Baltimore, you had 13-3-10, and then you come back against them and you have 2-3-7. But I like going on the road and sweeping. Going on the road and sweeping a team to me is much more indicative of what you're capable of. I mean, it's an Indian team now that is 42-40. So obviously before the sweep, they were 42-36. That was a solid team. They're second in their division. That's a solid team. But I would always rather go in and play like that on the road, because when you do that, if you have the ability to go in and win on the road against quality teams, that usually shows you that you have the mental makeup to win a championship. So that's kind of what I'm in favor of. 713-780-3776. Phoenix and Milwaukee get started tonight. It's an 8 o'clock start time. I am curious to see how many Rockets fans are interested in this, either as basketball fans or the fact that Chris Paul and maybe to a lesser extent or maybe to a greater extent, PJ Tucker both were Houston Rockets. I'm curious if you guys fall in that category. I have love for PJ Tucker and what he did for this team. I have a special place in my heart for glue guys. Pat Beverly kind of fit that mold at one point, but then he wasn't here for some of the, you know, he's been gone for a while, and some of the the teams that the Rockets have had since Pat Beverly and the way that they've gone about things. And, you know, I don't know. Pat Bev, I don't put in that same category. But I do have a lot of love for P.J. Tucker. Chris Paul, I just think, is a phenomenal competitor. I have a lot of respect for him as an NBA player, not just a guy who was critical in winning 65 games and giving you the best regular season in Rockets history. I mean, that was 65-17. That was pretty serious stuff. But personally, I do have an interest in this series as a basketball fan and as a Rocket fan, and I would like to see Chris Paul win this series. My kids, who are really into it, I think they'd kind of like to see Giannis win. I think they are for the, although they really love Devin Booker. But how do you, do you have a team you're rooting for in this one at all?
I don't have a team I'm rooting for. You said my middle name was Schadenfreude earlier. I'm trying to figure out who I can root against.
Yeah, well, obviously.
Of course. If there's a team or a person or a player I can root against.
What angle can hurt someone the most?
I need to find a way to get emotionally invested in the series. It's less about someone getting hurt.
You thought of gambling.
I don't like that because
that will do it.
Because it costs me things. Like, rooting against someone doesn't cost me anything other than, oh, man, they won.
Do you remember Gambling Dell, who came out for a little bit?
I gambled during college football season and realized I didn't enjoy college football season, so I stopped doing it. I didn't.
When you gambled, you enjoyed it less?
Yes.
Actually, it takes away. Yeah, you become a mercenary.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I was up. I was like, there was a Thursday night, it was a Saturday night. I'm watching like Nevada versus San Jose State.
Isn't that great?
No, it's
annoying. You're up late watching a game you don't care about. Isn't that the best?
I would be up late anyway just watching to see something wacky happen. But now I'm watching it hoping you win the first quarter.
Yeah,
I don't like
you're
that.
Now it will desensitize you to football in general. You won't be able to watch just for enjoyment.
Yeah, I was live betting remember that Washington State UCLA game that went crazy? I was live betting trying to. Should I stay on the Washington State side? I was like, I'm feeling pretty good because I had Washington State by whatever in the second half, and UCLA came back and did what they did, and it ruined it. I could have enjoyed that wacky game. Instead, I'm betting and trying to figure out a way to make $10 back. I don't want to do that. It's annoying.
That game was like tracking a meme stock.
Yeah, I don't.
No. Yeah. Chill.
And then
bye.
And I realize when I'm thoroughly exhausted and excited because San Jose State kept Army out of the end zone late in some stupid game. Why am I doing this?
Stop crying.
I don't do it anymore.
Put more money in and let's go. Let's go.
It's my favorite sport, and it annoyed the hell. It made it a worse experience, so I stopped doing it.
Try it in basketball and see what happens. You got all kinds of. Would you like to play my group, Underdog Fantasy? You can
over under on soon.
We'll talk about them soon. I'll pull up some of the over unders, and you can tell me what you think on those, and maybe you can win.
I just got to figure out. Really, my hate is going to be if I see a dumb tweet about a certain player and then I'm just going to root against that team. Like, I saw a tweet about, man, I remember when I was old enough to remember when Laker fans and Heat fans were saying they shouldn't trade for P.J. Tucker. The Lakers lost Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. What was P.J. Tucker going to do?
So this is what my, let's get back on track. We'll break it right here. And we come, Cam, you good? See, I love that Cam's learning by fire. He's not poised. He's poised. He doesn't show any. He's not getting rattled.
Yeah.
I've seen interns and producers before who you can see him freaking out behind the glass. Cam, you can get on the mic, right? You know how to push it. I'm just making sure we're good.
I'm good.
There you go. What position did you play in football?
Quarterback, running back, receiver.
Okay, so you've got you have to have poise as a quarterback. Do you think that prepared you for maybe when the sound didn't come on, we were getting into the last break, you didn't look like you panicked at all. You waited for Dell. Do you feel like that poise is benefiting you currently?
Got to have poise, and, I learned from it now. I think I got it.
Okay, you see? That's why you have – if it had been like a safety – no, not a safety. Probably a corner or a wide receiver.
What position
are
you about to
insult? A corner or wide receiver would have freaked out.
A corner has to have no memory because you get beat, you got to come back.
You say that, but they also kind of their emotions on their sleeve.
And then when you get beat by 2 yards and there's an overthrow, you go.
Yeah, you immediately go to the incomplete
because it is incomplete. Not that you had anything to do with it.
You had zero to do with it. We get back some factors that we need to get to with this series between Phoenix and Milwaukee. And I am interested in hearing from if you're a Rocket fan or just a basketball fan. who you got in this one, and why my kids are already trying to tell me that this championship doesn't count
for either team?
For anybody.
Okay.
But this championship would not count for Chris Paul. It's 728 here on the bench.
But first, let's talk about
underdogs.
Yeah.
Good, because I'm looking at it right now. They got a contest called The Puppy. It's NFL 2021 best ball season. I've got snapback showdown between Milwaukee and that's today. That's a game today between Milwaukee and Phoenix. You've got an actual game you can daily fantasy that one individual game right here, but that you can also tie it up with baseball. There's a lot of great things to do with underdogfantasy.com. You have Pick'ems, which gives you over-unders. Chris Middleton is 27.5. Drew Holiday, 38.5 points, rebounds, assists. P.J. Tucker. I've got a feeling P.J. Tucker is going to play a little bit more of a factor today. So I would go over 12.5 points, rebounds, and assists. And all you do is you take more than two. If I want to take over P.J. Tucker, and then let's say I think Devin Booker is going to get locked up today, I'll go under 28.5 points. Then all of a sudden, I could put $20 in there, and it's a three-time multiplier when you add two. Now, you can go as high as five players. It's like a five-team multiplier, a five-person multiplier, and it goes up to 20 times. So if you put $20 in, you're talking about winning $400 if you hit all five of your plays. They've got that for rivalries, which are head-to-head matchups, on individual matchups. And, of course, if you're looking for daily or season-long fantasy football, it is on the way. It is here, and we're talking about real drafts, not the salary cap stuff, actual real drafts, which is why I love Underdog Fantasy. If you are skilled, you have a huge advantage. Make sure that you go to underdogfantasy.com, and when you sign up and you make your first deposit, use the promo code radio. They're going to throw $25 extra dollars into your account. You can use that for Best Ball Mania 2, which has $3.5 million and payouts. Make sure that you check them out at underdogfantasy.com. Terms and conditions apply.
When it comes to sports betting, sportsmapbets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, sportsmapbets has all the info you need to make the best play. sportsmapbets.com. Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
John is out, but I am here, and Dell is here as well. We got you. We got you on this ride today from 7 to 11. And we appreciate you joining us. Hopefully you had a good 4th. Did you do anything unusual outside of the realm of Dell Olele? Mm-hmm. Oh, like a cartel lions. Yeah. Well, nope. Yeah, you better go in there and double check on that. I don't know. I don't know why they... Yeah, so for those wondering, Dell was talking about he had a relationship over the weekend with an older woman, the grandma who he lives next to.
No, that would be something that I normally
do. Yeah, now I can hear you.
That would be something that I normally do. You said something out of the ordinary.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So well, you said you were watching a documentary about
like these,
killer lions, like lions who are trying to take over territory. Like I said, like cartel lions.
Yeah, like there's five of them, and that's normally too big of a that's not normally how big of a coalition lions get. Like it's maybe two or three of them, male lions.
How did you find out about this?
Because I somehow clicked on something on YouTube. And it was just a clip of these talking about these lions, and I found it streaming someplace, and I watched. It's like an hour long, and it talks about these six, like they're five brothers and a half brother, who all they did was they killed more lions than any group of lions ever.
Some documentary there to track it.
Well, they tracked them from when they're cubs until they were adult males. So from
why were they tracking them?
It's just I don't know.
With a film crew?
Well, they tracked the area, wildlife area, and then these lions became very popular. So over a 12-year span or so, these lions kept getting filmed, and you kept getting updates on them, and they put it together at the end. And these lions would just...
So no one ever... You're not supposed to step in? I mean, documentarians.
You're not going to... Well, these lions would like kill the cubs of other... They just like rip... Hey, we know we were once part of your pack or your pride or whatever they call it, but now that we're older, we're going to kill all the Cubs that aren't, that don't belong to us because we don't want any threats later. So they would just kill every Cub in the area.
What is this show called?
I have to find it for you. But I watched that yesterday. I was like, oof. And even the people covering it were like, these are the most brutal lions we've ever encountered.
Where did you see it? Where did you find it streaming?
Not in a legal place.
Oh. Oh, wait a minute. What, the dark web?
It's not the dark web, but I just typed it. It's been out for a while, so I just typed in the name of the documentary, and there was no way to really watch it legally. Not that I was looking for that. And then I found a stream of it, this place that just has a lot of movies. Like,
oh, okay.
And then it was there. I was like, it was like an hour long about the most brutal lions to ever walk
the face
of the
earth. But you don't know
the
name of it.
No, I do. It's just something I'd have to – I don't know it offhand. I can look it up.
Well, I'll get it from you during a break. I watch El Inocente.
I watch about 5 episodes of that, too.
You're already 5 into it? Holy crap.
Well, it's –
you said you had it on your list of things to start.
I didn't say to start. I said it's on my list because I've seen a couple episodes.
Oh, it's on your list. Yeah,
and I watched a couple more.
That's a good one. That, man, you have to wait till the end for all the storylines to come together. But that was a really good – that's a really good show. So I watched that, did the barbecuing thing. My new thing is frisbee golf, by the way.
Because of that video that came out?
I was already doing it.
I've only done frisbee golf.
Yeah, I just decided I'm doing frisbee golf now. Went on a hike yesterday. You know, I played the hits, Del. Just played the hits.
Those aren't the hits.
Made some steak.
Michaels?
Yep. Yeah, people got the hookup from him. Our listeners were like blown away. Michael's throwing extra things in the back. Here, take some of this. Get some pork chops. Here, have this stuffed chicken. He was like giving our listeners extra, who won the contest last week, extra food. But yeah, I did the disc golf thing because that's what we call it in the business, disc golf.
We don't
call it frisbee golf anymore, though.
Okay, when you do the disc golf thing, does a part of your younger self die on the inside? You sure? Like, when you were playing, didn't you play ball at Fondy?
No, not at Fondy.
Didn't you play a lot of pickup basketball?
Yeah, a ton,
Do you think your younger self would look at you and go, oh, this is what
You know what's funny is we were always competing. So, like, we would play. Sometime I would go, like, I'd go to Mark. When I wasn't playing pickup basketball, I'd go to my buddy Mark Edwards' house. We'd take out golf clubs and, like, real golf balls and start chipping the ball into people's yards. I guess in hindsight, it wasn't a great idea, but we'd have to hit a tree. Like, we'd play yard golf. Same concept as frisbee golf. We were always inventing something that we could compete in. So this is, I don't think I'm hooping right now. So this is where I get to compete against myself, Dale, and it keeps me like iron sharpens iron, but with frisbee.
So you go to places that have set themselves up for
well, they got baskets. Disc golf?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, they've got baskets. It's a whole course. A strategy involved, Dale. I get to play with my kids, which makes it even extra.
Seems worse, actually.
Terrible sometimes. Yeah. Well, snacks. Only one kid is really a problem.
God, I just don't envision myself playing disc golf and thinking.
We should go out and play sometime.
I don't want to hang out with you. The name of the documentary is Brothers in Blood, The Lions of the Sabi Sand. Sabi is S-A-B-I. Brothers in Blood. These lions were just murking people. Other lions. It doesn't matter.
Brothers in Blood.
Yeah, that's what they're about. They were the five families, and then they had a half brother who was the leader for a little bit.
It's until, like, blood in, blood out.
I'm telling you, if you want to see lions, if you want to see a grown lion have half of a cub in its mouth and the other half is strewn across the sand,
wow,
that's what they're about.
Brutal.
You know what? Since we're into it, we got before we go to break. You know what lions do to other lions to kill them? Like if they're in a pack of lions,
I don't because I haven't seen the doc, you do.
Well, I'm going to tell you what lions will do. If there's a pack of them, one will bite the spine to paralyze them, and the other just goes after the groin.
Oh,
yeah, because it's the tender area, it's the underbelly. You got a pack of them, one around the neck, one around the spine to paralyze them, and then the other's like gnawing on the groin, taking chunks out of the groin.
Wow.
That's what lions are about.
Yeah, I don't want to mess. Yeah, I've never wanted to mess with a lion. I don't know if I want to watch it. I watch pretty much all documentaries. I don't know if I can watch that one.
And it's kind of.
I don't know what I'm going to get from that one.
It's kind of tough because it's not in HD. And anything in HD, anything that's not in HD is always worse.
It's not in HD?
Nah, they made it, at least not where I found it, because I found it on a stream someplace. I'm sure it's in HD someplace. I'm sure you can buy it on Amazon, but I'm not doing that for the Brothers in Blood.
Well, okay. So now that we got that out of the way, and I'll search it here during the break. The Brothers in Blood, also known as former Rockets, P.J. Tucker and Chris Paul, known as Brothers in Blood, along with Trevor Ariza, who I happen to see all three of them at Daryl Morey's play, where three is greater than two. It did not go off Broadway. It kind of flopped.
Look at that.
But so Chris Paul versus, you said you don't have a rooting interest yet.
No, not yet.
My kid said this. It's actually one kid. Alex said this, and it pissed me off. He saw this on Instagram. Somebody was arguing, whatever, back and forth. And it kind of pissed me off. They're like, even if Chris Paul wins, it's already disallowed. I'm like,
what for?
What are you talking? I said, what? Wait, what? He goes, yeah. On Instagram, somebody was saying that this win is disallowed. Even if Chris Paul wins, it doesn't count towards a championship. I said, what? What in the? He said, because Giannis is hurt now, and Kawhi Leonard was hurt previously, and Antonio Davis was hurt. Of course, you just sweep right past the sweep series. You get past that. So he said, so yeah, that's it. You have Anthony Davis is hurt, so that knocks you out of the Lakers series. You have the injury to Kawhi Leonard, that knocks you out of that series. That series doesn't count any longer. And then Giannis is hurt. So if he doesn't play, and I don't expect Giannis to play in game one, we'll see about game two. The hyperextended knees, they say takes 10 to 14 days, but it might be even beyond that. But the good thing for Giannis and the Bucks is that it's not a game every other day now. There is actually going to be two rest days between certain games. So there is a game today. There is a game on the 8th, 2 days from now. So I could see Giannis missing those two for sure, but I could see a scenario where he's back by game three. I could see, based on the timeline of when he was hurt and what the rest looks like, they won't say it. They're going to keep it as quiet as possible because they want Phoenix preparing for a full steam ahead Milwaukee team. But I could see Giannis coming back by game three based on the timeline of what I've read about hyperextended knees, because that would put him inside that 10 to 14. So there is a chance that he could make it back by then. Now, does that bother you at all? Like, it bothers me that people are already trying to disallow a guy's championship. Not that it matters. It's just people on social media. At some point, we, and especially me, have to stop. Like, just ignore people on social media who say dumb stuff.
It doesn't bother me. Just only because I know this particular storyline of it not counting will be forgotten even a year from now. Like, there'll be some people who say, oh, he was injured, but you know what?
Really? Signed Rockets with the asterisk? We had to deal with that crap for 2 years.
You're talking about the best player to ever play not being around and people deciding they need to latch on to that.
Anthony Davis didn't play with the LeBron team?
The Raptors won the Raptors won their title with KD getting hurt.
So then what Alex... Okay. So then what Alex said is the only team, he said, somebody else countered, like, none of these championships matter. You have to go all the way back to, like, the 13-14. Who won the 2014, the finals? Because, you know, you had...
Well,
there's been injuries.
The Spurs won 13-14.
Yeah, that's the one. They said you have to go all the way back to the Spurs until you get a clean championship.
Exactly. So that's the point. You can't play this game because the Warriors won a title where Conley got hurt. Chris Paul was hurt, I think. And they went through the Western Conference and the starting point guard for each team didn't play, I think. Was something like that. So it does. I think it was their first title. It's a thing for a season, and then no one's going to talk about it. I mean, the Rockets are going to catch it because it's Jordan. But other than that, injuries don't take away from titles. That story doesn't last very long. I don't think whoever wins isn't going to hear it from a person they're actually going to care if they say it. And no serious person's going to mention it. It's the fodder for teenagers and Twitter trolls. It's not something that matters. Oh no, my title's not serious because a guy was hurt. No one's gonna care.
It is, you know, it really is Twitter trolls. It's just a matter of just ignoring it because it's Chris Paul. Don't tell Chris Paul it doesn't matter. And frankly, the Rockets, despite hearing all the asterisk stuff with Jordan, now that's one that I truly believe that the Rockets were best set up, and pretty much everyone who followed basketball and was an analyst understands that. Jordan's toughest matchup would have been against Olajuwon just because of the way that the Bulls were set up and the way that the Rockets were set up. But I just think it's just so ridiculous that people are trying to already discount this. Although, clearly, this is... I have never seen an NBA basketball playoffs that has been this in shambles in terms of star players missing time with injuries. And that includes Chris Paul missing a couple games as well. He had the injury, but missing games with COVID. I mean, we've never seen it anything like this. But regardless, I'm looking forward to the matchup. And I think the matchup is intriguing because when you just go position by position, there's a lot of similarity between these two teams. They play differently, but once you, especially if you throw Giannis out of the mix, there is a lot of similarities. Like Booker versus Middleton, I think that will determine how the whole series goes. Because Holiday is a pretty good defender against CP3, but Booker versus Middleton, you got two guys who are going to be big offensive threats, and they are going to have to guard each other for much of the time. And when that happens, there's going to be some guys who fatigue a little bit because they're going to have to play two ways.
We got to go to break, but I would be interested to see how Milwaukee's game plan differs when Giannis comes back, because they were more open, free-flowing team a little bit in game six against the Hawks. And then we know kind of how the game goes when Giannis is in it, and understandably considering the force he is. So Milwaukee seemed better offensively in terms of how they got their shots in game six. Now we'll see if the Suns are going to be that switching defense that the Nets put on, because that kind of clogged up the works for them, particularly with the struggles of Drew Holiday, and sometimes seemed like game to game the struggles of Chris Middleton. I think the stat was out there that against switching defenses, the Suns are much worse. Well, at least they were much worse against the Clippers. They were much better against the Clippers when the Clippers would drop, and when they switched, that's where their production went down. And that is something the Bucks love to do. They love to drop, and the Suns kind of feast on that. At least they did in the previous series. So we'll see what happens in that matchup.
7:47. Let's break it right here. We come back, we'll get to Rachel Nichols. Rachel had some problems over the 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
.750 here on The Bench. 713-780-3776. So, John is out today. He'll be back tomorrow. It's me and Dale taking you in today. And over the weekend, audio leaked of Rachel Nichols. You know Rachel Nichols from ESPN. She hosts the show The Jump. She does sideline reporting for the NBA and for ESPN's NBA broadcast. And she was speaking with LeBron James's publicist, and I don't know who it was who recorded. Do we know who it was who recorded the audio?
Well, from what I remember, it was she was in the middle of a in a break in a broadcast or something. So, you know, kind of how with us, with our Twitch, as long as the mics are up, people can hear stuff.
Oh, I got you.
I figured that's what it was, and then the audio was leaked by a former ESPN employee to amongst the staff. She sent it to
is, by the way, considered really poor form to take anything there and put it out there, take it outside of the family, or even go above the chain of command for something like that. But that was her personal opinion. These comments were her personal comments, and they were taken and put out there. But now that they're out there, it's too late. And so she had a comment. She obviously wanted the NBA she wanted to be the host, the studio host of the NBA playoffs and finals and everything that goes with it with ESPN. And the job was given to Maria Taylor. And Rachel Nichols was not happy about it and was caught on audio saying this in a conversation with LeBron James' publicist.
They said to me, "Hey, instead of hosting the NBA finals, like, why don't you do Doris's sideline reporter job for the NBA finals?"
Because guess what that would clear the way for?
do the hosting for them.
Yeah.
So I have declined. I don't know what their next move is, but they are feeling pressure because of all of that. And I'm trying to figure out, like, how to just, you know, my thing is, like, I wish Maria Taylor all the success in the world. She covers football. She covers basketball. If you need to give her more things to do because you're feeling pressure about your, like, crappy long-time record on diversity, which, by the way, I myself, like, know personally from the female side of it, like, go for it. Just, you know, find it somewhere else. Like, you're not going to find it with me.
So she made those comments, and those were private comments that were captured and disseminated to Maria Taylor, I believe. And then I don't know where, how it leaked publicly.
It was to Maria Taylor, and then it also to other ESPN employees.
Right. So it was a matter of time before it's going to leak. So what she said to wrap it up is she's basically said, and you could hear it read between the lines, but you could also just hear what she was talking about, was ESPN has gone through many changes over the last year and a half, adding more diversity to their broadcast, to their on-air stuff, to their radio stuff, across the board. And what she is intimating here in this piece is that Maria Taylor was, in a diversity move, was given a move that she felt like she should have had. The Rachel Nichols should have had that move. I mean, that move being that job, the studio host job. So that's what she was intimating in that piece. Now, if you listen to it objectively, she does mention, she doesn't badmouth Maria Taylor that I could hear anywhere in there. But it's created a lot of stress and tension for her. And yesterday on The Jump, this percolated over the weekend and was out there, and of course Twitter all had it, and there was article and there was the sound, and they could all hear the same sound. And on The Jump, she came on, that's her show, she was with Richard Jefferson and Kendrick Perkins, and on that on the show, she obviously was going to have to come on the 5th of July and do her show. I mean, it's basketball's coming up. The Jump is about basketball. That's what it's all about. So you knew an apology was coming, and here was Rachel Nichols' apology yesterday, or her words coming into the show.
So the first thing they teach you in journalism school is don't be the story. And I don't plan to break that rule today or distract from a fantastic finals. But I also don't want to let this moment pass without saying how much I respect, how much I value our colleagues here at ESPN, how deeply, deeply sorry I am for disappointing those I hurt, particularly Maria Taylor, and how grateful I am to be part of this outstanding team.
And a perk took over after that. Kendrick Perkins. I mean, I don't know. You guys may have an opinion one way or another. I don't care. I think Maria Taylor's super talented, and I think she's the next star of ESPN. We talked about it last week. She overplayed her hand. She turned down a $5 million offer. And now they're offering $2 to $3 million. I heard someone say that they believe that this was leaked intentionally to try to get Rachel Nichols fired so they would be forced to pay Maria Taylor more.
I saw the opposite. I saw that the initial post story was fake about her turning that money down.
Oh, really?
Because they knew this New York Times story was coming.
So the initial one was fake.
About her turning down the contract talks, period, were not real. The whole, she's turned down 5 million.
Has ESPN spoken on it at all?
They won't do that.
No, probably not.
They're not going to do that. So someone had the theory that,
as Andrew Marchand was the original writer of the Maria Taylor turned down that money.
Someone had the theory that, and apparently the Post has a record of doing things like this, being kind of being used for this sort of thing. I don't know. I don't read the Post. But the thought was that the Post were given fake details about this because ESPN knew that the Time story was coming, and they kind of wanted to salt the earth a little bit with, oh, Maria Taylor turned down all this money.
Say that benefits them, though.
I don't know. I was reading someone who is a media person who kind of,
who said that,
who kind of analyzes media events and says ESPN has been known and to use the Post for things when they need things to go a certain way.
Huh. Well, what do you think about the comments in general?
Listening to them, I mean, partly because the nature of the conversation off the cuff, just talking, they don't really surprise or bother me, because we all, no matter what type of person we think we are, we believe certain things, particularly when it comes to maybe if there's a certain situation taken away from us.
Yeah.
You point to things that whether you know them to be real or not, you point to things that you believe to be true. It's what humans do. So what she said isn't that offensive to me. I mean, it's okay. She thinks Maria Taylor got a job, got this situation because of the color of her skin. That sucks that's her thought, but it's not so alarming to me because, I mean, I've thought things,
yeah,
maybe not necessarily to do about race, but I've thought things that I had no basis in fact in simply because I was in my feelings about something.
Well, yeah, and that's what I think. Most people, if somebody gets something and you don't get it, you always think, hey, I'm more talented than them. And Rachel Nichols thinks she's on the come up at ESPN,
yeah,
and she's in competition with somebody else. Now, she is talking about diversity, hire, and whatever. I mean, she clearly said that, which has people upset. But I think, you know what's sad to me is that Kendrick Perkins, I don't know, I'm from a loyal, I think there's some loyalty with Kendrick Perkins knowing her, with Richard Jefferson, and they got just slandered yesterday for trying to have her back as teammates, basically her teammates saying, what I heard was, you know, they had her back, and everyone said, oh, ESPN made you, you're Uncle Tom, you're this, that, and the other. I thought that was, when somebody has a teammate's back, I thought that was kind of like low rent, but then again, it's just Twitter doing Twitter stuff. Jalen Rose also had her back, but then you said Jalen's daughter did not.
Yeah. It's a video she made on TikTok. Surprisingly, because of the content, you know, everyone cares about it. And surprisingly, is used sarcastically. Yeah, I think her name's Mariah Rose. I hope that is correct. Mm-hmm. She went on TikTok and she explained why Rachel Nichols is wrong.
Nah, because let's quickly talk about Miss Rachel Nichols. Maria Taylor knows what a generational talent she is in the broadcasting world, so I don't even got to go there and hype her up. Let's talk about the fact that she actually played basketball. And if you want to go there, let's go there. Let's talk about how you're related to Diane Sawyer, arguably the queen of ABC. Nah. You got your job as one of the faces of ESPN because you're so entertaining and talented and so good at it, right? You are a woman in the sports world, and you sat there and you laughed about the Me Too movement, about your fellow women complaining about being sexually assaulted at work. You think that's funny? What really got me is you're tired of the Black Lives Matter movement because you weren't tired about posting about it or making your stupid little storybook monologues about it. Maybe instead of crying and calling Maria a diversity token, you can direct that energy to the people who think there can only be one woman on that stage. And if we're being real, Rachel Nichols is a subpar reporter. Subpar. Boring. Not great. I'm sorry your white privilege didn't work this time. Maybe next time.
Okay. Have fun, ESPN. Congratulations and good luck. You think Jalen was like, oh! Do you think Jalen said, nice job? Because you said things I couldn't say. Or do you think Jalen was, why are you doing this?
Now they're going to bring me in here and
stop
have a conversation.
Stop trying to be Insta-famous.
Yeah. I don't mind it.
Well, you're Schadenfreude.
It doesn't bother me.
We can just sit and watch. It's fine. It has nothing to do with me. I'm just watching from the outside.
Yeah, I enjoyed
every
second of this.
At any point, will it leak onto the broadcast tonight? Because Rachel
during the
Seidler
finals?
Reporter, yeah, I don't think so.
No chance. You think Breen and Jackson are going to talk about this?
No. Is Rachel the sideline reporter?
I don't know that. Is it Doris Burke? She was a sideline reporter
last year. Should be Doris. Yeah. You got the full A-team on.
Yeah.
It should be Doris.
You imagine it would be Doris. And Rachel, who hosts the studio
Taylor?
Show?
Maria Taylor.
Does she?
That's why we have this. That's why there's a problem.
Is it? Oh, she's still the host of the studio
show? I believe
she
is. Yeah, okay. That's why we got a problem.
Okay. Well, Rachel Nichols can review each finals game after the jump.
I think Maria's super talented. I think she's, for people who care, I don't care. She's really good looking. I don't care. My guy Peter Burns, who I'm good friends with, loves Maria Taylor. They started off on SEC Network together. He can't say enough good things about her. So none of this none of this is my business.
No.
I just find it very, very intriguing.
I hope Rachel Nichols gets to talk about game one of the finals on the jump and Maria Taylor's performance. I hope she... You know how Tim Legler, one of their more talented analysts, yeah, who only shows up on SVP for whatever reason, they put him on in the middle of the night for whatever reason.
They kind of buried him.
They should put him on, you know, one of their premier shows. She should bring on Tim Legler, and they can break down Maria Taylor's performance.
All right, we got a break. We're way past it. See, this is what happens, though, when you're not in there and John's not here. It's not my fault John decided to take a vacation day today. It's 8:02 here on the bench. If you guys want to jump in, 713-780-3776. The Astros have all stars when we come back.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports.